This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 119 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. This is the worst part of the NFL draft season. Most evaluation has already been done by analysts and people in the media, so everyone's just stretching for stories. Instead of talking about on-field production, they talk about Josh Rosen's millennial status. We're at the point in the NFL draft season where people are talking about things that don't matter because they've run out of things to talk about. But not on this podcast. The Late Round Podcast still has plenty to talk about. Over the next 3 weeks leading up to the NFL draft, I'll be talking to smart people about running backs, wide receivers, and quarterbacks in this year's draft. So we'll dig through the two most important positions for fantasy football purposes, and then the one position that's the most important on an actual NFL field. Back in February, I looked at running backs and wide receivers who produced like NFL studs while they were in college. If any of you missed those, you can listen back to episode 105 and episode 107. That was just from the viewpoint of production profiles, though, and it was also just from the viewpoint of my brain and my thoughts. My goal for you guys over the next 3 weeks is to give you more perspective on these players to help better prepare you for the NFL draft and fantasy football rookie drafts through interviews with, like I said, really smart people. So let's kick things off with someone I have the pleasure of working with every day, and that's Jim Sonnes. Jim's an analyst at NumberFire, and he's the host of the Solo Shot podcast, which is an MLB DFS show, as well as a co-host of the Heat Check, which is a podcast that he does with Brandon Gadula that covers multiple sports. Most important for today's show, Jim's been prospecting quarterbacks over the last 5 years, finding which passers are statistically superior in each draft class. He's found metrics and statistics that correlate to NFL success, and he has really interesting insights on this year's draft class as a result. So without further ado, let's learn more about this year's quarterback class. So Jim, you've been doing a great series on NumberFire.com over the last 5 years on quarterbacks who are statistically superior within their draft class. Can you explain what you're looking to do with that study and the statistics that you found that are most helpful when predicting quarterback success in the NFL?
Yeah, the whole point of it was just to try to find a pattern for successful first-round picks because, as everyone knows, there are a whole lot of first-round quarterbacks who don't really wind up being successes, and to me, as a football fan, that's super frustrating. I wanted to try to find reasonings that guys may bust if there were traits that led to that more often than not. And when looking at past data, it did seem like there were some important things that stood out. And one of them that actually stood out a lot was the level of experience the guys had in college. So for like younger players, like in this class, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, Sam Darnold, guys coming off an age 20 season, they need to have played like 30 or more games with at least 10 pass attempts. That's generally the tipping point there. If we're talking about an older guy like Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, coming off an age 22 season, it's around 35 or more games. And if they're below that, it doesn't mean they'll necessarily be a bust. Like Carson Wentz was a guy who had very little experience coming out, and he was old, but they're very much the exceptions rather than the rules here. So experience in college is big. Also, I found adjusted yards per attempt in their final collegiate season is pretty big too. You generally want that to be above 9, like 9.2 to 9.4 is like the sweet spot for really good quarterbacks in the NFL. Again, there are exceptions, but for the most part, that's where you want the guys to sit. And also just looking back at past drafts, I think that this should go without saying, but draft capital does matter. And that's pretty true at every position. Shockingly, NFL scouts are actually good at what they do. And I think that we sometimes write them off because they make really dumb decisions. But for the most part, they're smart and they get things right. Like if we're looking at successful first round picks from 2000 to 2017, the median draft pick is third for quarterbacks, third overall for first round successful quarterbacks. For unsuccessful guys, the median pick is 14th. So there's a pretty big discrepancy there. If you're going towards the latter end of the first round, you're probably going there for a reason. So scouts are good at what they do, and draft capital does matter a lot.
So like I said, you've been doing this study over the last five draft classes, which was crazy when I went back and looked at it. I'm like, wow, Jim's been doing this for 5 years now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Has anything really surprised you while doing the study? And have any players, you know, have any players ended up over or underperforming that you didn't necessarily see happening? And if so, where did their statistical profiles lack?
Yeah, I think the big one for me as far as misses has been Johnny Football. And I don't think I'm alone in missing on Johnny Manziel. I think there were a good number of people who did the same, but I really did whiff pretty poorly on Manziel in that draft class. And when I look back at Manziel, I think the obvious thing I overlooked, and this is the first year I was doing this, so hopefully I can write that off. I'm not going to, but the thing I overlooked with him was experience. You know, coming out of A&M, he was a young guy who came out his redshirt freshman year and was awesome. He committed to the draft after his redshirt sophomore year. So when Manziel declared for the draft, he had only had, I think it was 25 games of experience under his belt at that time. And that's a lot lower than where you want it to be. And I think that because maybe it was my first time doing this, maybe I just was infatuated with watching him play football, I kind of overlooked that as being a concern. And I was like, okay, I'm all aboard the Johnny Football train. Let's go. He's going to be fun. And it didn't quite work out. There could have been some off-the-field stuff, but I do think the actual draft profile, I should have put more stock in that than I did. The other one, last year, I put these pieces out in February, so it's before I can really judge draft capital. Brad Kaya may or may not have been at the top of the list for that one. And I'm pretty sure he was a seventh rounder who is now on like his fifth separate team. And so I think that to me says draft capital and scout rankings do matter, because there, by the end of the draft process, there was not a single scout who said, okay, Brad Kaya is just as good as Pat Mahomes. There was no one saying that. So to me, It does tell me that there is a ton of value in looking at both the experience and draft capital. And I think that those can help weed out some pretty big misses.
Yeah. And, you know, I did the same thing with my model that I have for running backs and wide receivers, where I don't use it to definitively give me the answers. Yeah. I use it more as a guide. And then I see what teams end up doing. And then that should influence the way that you view these players, because situation and draft capital do matter. Jim, before we dig into the individual rankings for this year's class, how do you think that this class stacks up statistically against recent classes that we've seen? You know, we're hearing that quarterbacks could fly off the draft board really early. Mm-hmm. We could see a lot of quarterbacks go in the first round, but do the numbers agree with that?
Yeah, I think they do, but it's not always with the same guys who tend to be mocked at the front end of the first round. Like Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph are two of the better statistical quarterbacks I have seen in the 5 years I've been doing this. Like, they measure up really well. And Rudolph is a guy who is consistently mentioned as being like a later first round pick. So I don't know how much I want to trust the numbers there, because the scouts don't tend to agree that he is a top-end guy. But from a numbers perspective, Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph do measure up well to past classes. And when you combine the good numbers they have with the good reports we get from scouts on Darnold, Rosen, Josh Allen, that really does say to me that this is a super strong draft class, and one that warrants a lot of high-end selections. I think the only real like glaring weakness here is Josh Allen. He is kind of the one who is a statistical outlier in the extreme negative sense, but scouts like him, and that does matter a lot. And scouts like this class as a whole, we've got a couple of guys with awesome stats, Rosen, Darnold, even Lamar Jackson, they all have good enough stats where I'm willing to say this is definitely a good quarterback class, and one that I would want a piece of if I were looking for a quarterback.
Okay, so you just gave us a little bit of a glimpse as to how you're viewing this class. Who is your number one guy, and why is he your number one guy in this class?
It's always Baker Mayfield, man. Like, woo. I'm so happy that he is getting like buzz from scouts, because that was my worry, you know, looking back at him after last year's season, where I was like, man, this like dude's got some good stats. He was pretty good the year before. I mean, like, last year Mayfield set the NCAA record for adjusted yards per attempt in a single season. Then he went out for his redshirt senior year and dude does it again, which is just stupid how good he was at Oklahoma. So to me, seeing scouts view him as being this, you know, guy who is worthy of a front end selection, that says to me that there's a lot to like here. And I like him if I'm not considering the scouts marks. I love him if I'm not considering the scouts marks. And I think that he would still be the top guy for me, even when I do consider that he is probably below guys like Rosen, Darnold, and potentially even Allen. And if we look back at the first round quarterbacks since 2000, Mayfield would rank third in games played, which is again a big indicator there. He would rank first in adjusted yards per attempt in this final season. Again, he set the record for that. First in passing efficiency rating too. And I think that the one concern you can have with Mayfield is that he's 22 years old. He is older, 2 years older specifically than Darnold, Rosen, and Jackson. But again, as long as you have like 35 or so games played, you can be a bit older and still be a successful quarterback. Like Phillip Rivers was 22. Carson Palmer was 23. We've seen a lot of guys who have been this age, but as long as you have a lot of experience, it doesn't matter as much.
Are you concerned, though, about his competition in the Big 12? I know that that's a knock on Baker Mayfield a lot.
And I was initially. I agreed, because if you look at the NFL, there aren't a ton of successful quarterbacks who have come from the Big 12. So I wanted to look at Mayfield against good pass defenses. So I defined that as being top 50 pass defenses based on S&P Plus, which is Football Outsiders stats, which shows overall pass defense ranking. And the average ranking for opponents that Mayfield faced was 52.71. That was actually the third lowest in the class behind Darnold and Rosen. So his opponents were better than what Mason Rudolph saw, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen, though not as good as what Darnold and Rosen saw. But I think the key thing to me is that he just obliterated those defenses. And these are good defenses. Like, this includes that Rose Bowl game against Georgia. His adjusted yards per attempt was 13.5, which is better than his adjusted yards per attempt for the entire sample. And that to me is just like, it's mind-boggling. And Rudolph was pretty good too. You know, sticking with him, his adjusted yards per attempt was 10.2. That's not bad. Nobody else is above Rosen at 8.3. So it's a concern for both Mayfield and Rudolph. But I think it's encouraging to me that when they did face good defenses, they were still successful.
So let's look at the opposite side of the spectrum, Jim. Josh Allen is probably the most polarizing quarterback and maybe even player in this entire draft class. So how concerned should teams be about his completion percentage? Because that's what everyone always talks about, and his potential accuracy issues. We know that he has that big arm, but what do the numbers say about him?
Yeah, they're very concerning, I think would be the way to put it. And if we're looking at comps, looking at guys who have been in a similar range to Josh Allen from an adjusted yards per attempt perspective, in case you don't know his stats from his last year at Wyoming, he had 6.9 adjusted yards per attempt, which is not exactly nice when we're discussing this type of thing. So I think that to me, that's a huge concern, because you look at the guys around him in adjusted yards per attempt, there are a lot of failed first round picks. Like Ryan Tannehill's, I don't know if you call him a failure, but like, he's not great. J.P. Lossman, Michael Vick, who I think outperformed that, but he was also back in, I think, 2000 when collegiate efficiency was different than it is now. Kyle Bowler was there, Christian Ponder, Jay Cutler, Jake Locker. So that's not a lot of successful quarterbacks. The two guys who have been quote-unquote successful quarterbacks with a lower adjusted yards per attempt are Matt Ryan, who had an awful last year at Boston College, and then Cutler. I will consider Cutler a success because he's been a starter in the NFL for a long time and has had some seasons that were at least okay. But that's pretty much it. Vic was a little bit higher than Allen, so I think it's a pretty glaring inefficiency. But also, and this doesn't get brought up with Josh Allen, but he's also inexperienced. He is older than Darnold, Rosen, and Jackson, but he has just 25 games with at least 10 pass attempts. I know part of that was due to injuries. He had a couple of collarbone issues in college, but you kind of need to have more experience than that for me to feel really good about you. Like, again, Carson Wentz succeeded with little experience in college. Alex Smith eventually did well, too. They're two of the guys to succeed despite little experience, but they're outliers for a reason. And I think that to me, it's not as big of a concern with Allen as it is the accuracy and the efficiency, but it is something that I do think is worth mentioning.
Yeah, and you mentioned the notion that he doesn't have as many games played. It's sort of the way that I look at other prospects in general if I'm looking at wide receivers or running backs. If they don't have a particular profile, let's say Ronald Jones, for instance, out of USC, doesn't have a good reception profile because, you know, a lot of people have said that they just didn't utilize their running backs out of the backfield as pass catchers. But still, we don't know. That doesn't necessarily tell us that he is a good pass catcher. It's just that we don't know. And with Josh Allen, it's a situation where if he doesn't have that experience, then we just don't know. So, Jim, we're hearing that Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, little Baker Mayfield now in there, his draft stock is rising. Mm-hmm. We're talking about them being drafted in the very, very early first round. We're talking top three picks. Mm-hmm. How should teams, though, be viewing Lamar Jackson? And is there another quarterback with also an interesting statistical profile? I know that you mentioned Mason Rudolph already.
Yeah. I mean, I love Rudolph. I'll talk about him in a second, but we'll start here with Jackson. And I think that when you look at Jackson from a statistical perspective, again, just focusing on the stats here, he's right on par with Josh Rosen. Like, they are very similar statistically as passers, but Jackson actually has more experience. He played 36 games coming out of college in his age 20 season. So at the end of his age 20 season, 36 games, the only guy who was coming off of the age 20 season in the draft with more experience is Matthew Stafford. And we always joke about Matthew Stafford being 12 years old. That's kind of why, but that's where Lamar Jackson is. He has a ton of experience as a quarterback in college, and he was pretty efficient too. You look at his numbers again, they're very similar to Josh Rosen's. So I don't see why we wouldn't view Lamar Jackson as being a guy who could be a really good NFL quarterback. And that's just as a passer. But when you look at what rushing quarterbacks can do in the NFL, like a quarterback rush from an efficiency perspective is so much better than a rush by a running back. Even guys like Cam Newton, when you know there's a chance they can run, they tend to be highly efficient. And I think that it's being viewed as a negative for Jackson almost that he can run. You know, they're saying additional health risks, yada, yada, yada. I don't think that they're really quantifying the fact that quarterbacks rushing the football is kind of like a cheat code in the NFL. So Jackson did struggle against good pass defenses. He didn't face a lot of good pass defenses too. So I think that there are reasons for concern, but he has a lot of what you want before you even talk about his athleticism and his ability as a runner. So I think that Jackson to me makes sense as a guy who should go in the first round. And with Mason Rudolph, I think it's the exact same thing. He comes out with a ton of experience, 41 games played at Oklahoma State and good efficiency. I think the one concern with Rudolph is he did not face a lot of good defenses, but like I said with Mayfield, he was still successful when he did so. And if we look back to 2016, you want to make the Big 12 comparison. Pat Mahomes was there. If we put Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph up against common opponents compared to Pat Mahomes, they both actually had better stats against those same defenses than Mahomes did. And I love Mahomes. Mahomes is an awesome quarterback, and I'm excited to see what he can do, but they were just as good facing common defenses. So I do think that Rudolph is another guy worthy of being a first-round pick.
Lamar Jackson, not a wide receiver.
No, shocker. Who, I don't, yeah, man, I don't get it. Whatever.
Not a wide receiver.
Who knew?
All right, Jim, let's do a little rapid fire. I'm going to name a quarterback, and you're going to give me his best professional comparable. Okay.
Sure.
All right, so we're going to start with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, he's Jameis Winston. Like, it's so easy for me because they turn the ball over a decent amount, which is a concern. They have this insane upside because you can see what they can do. They're both young, they're pretty inexperienced, and the scouts love them. And they both were better as redshirt freshmen than they were as redshirt sophomores. Like, this, when you sent me this, like, list of, like, comps, I was like, okay, well, it's Jameis Winston. There's really no thought process. It's just, they are so insanely similar.
All right, how about Josh Rosen?
I kind of think this could be a lazy comp, so I apologize, but he seems a lot like Jared Goff.
He does. Yeah. He does. Yeah.
It's not just like the looks. Like, they kind of look alike too, weirdly. But they both played for bad teams in the Pac-12. And I actually kind of like that because it means I can see what they did in negative game script when the opposing team knows you're going to throw. Josh Rosen was pretty good in those scenarios when he was facing negative game script. So I actually like that part. They're both young. They had to play from behind a lot, and they're not super mobile. Like, you know, you want your quarterbacks to have positive rushing yards in college, and I don't think Rosen did. I know Goff did not. So I think that they are very similar, and it's not just the Pac-12 comparison for them.
How about Josh Allen?
So I've heard this one actually a couple of times. It's not Ben Roethlisberger. That one, I have no idea where that came from. But Kyle Bowler, it's not just the completion percentage for those two guys, but they both had a big arm. They're both the same age coming out. They will have a lot of draft capital because Bowler, I believe, went 7th overall. So they're going to be like guys that scouts like. But the big difference here is that Allen is like Bowler if he had 17 fewer games of collegiate experience. Like, Bowler was a starter for 2 additional years compared to Josh Allen. So, like, if I were ranking them straight up, I would pick Kyle Bowler over Josh Allen. So I think that they are the two who wind up being closest for me.
Yeah, one of the interesting things that I heard over this draft season was Brian Billick, who was the one who drafted Kyle Bowler, saying that they didn't weigh a completion percentage enough and that they sort of made excuses for Kyle Bowler based on his low completion percentage. And that is exactly what's going on with Josh Allen.
But
right
what
now.
Would Brian Billick know about football, JJ? Come on. I'm just a dumb guy in my mom's basement. I know nothing.
Next one, your boy, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I think he's Marcus Mariota in a lot of ways. He's not as athletic as Marcus Mariota, and Mariota had better build. But when you look at the college systems, you see a lot of people questioning whether or not they're a product of the environment that they're in. And I understand that. Like, Mariota and Mayfield both in very good overall offenses, but if they're a product of their offense, then why don't other guys have stats as good as them? Like, Oregon and Oklahoma are not unique in running their offenses. Baker and Marcus Mariota just happen to have these really good stats there. And Baker's efficiency stats are actually better than Mariota's, and I'm a huge Mariota fan, even based on what he has done in the NFL. Obviously kind of a setback year this year, but I really do see a lot of parallels there just because, A, they're stupidly efficient, but also, B, because people question the systems from which they came, but I personally do buy in for both people.
How about Lamar Jackson?
I don't really know if there is one, honestly. I don't know if there can be, just because the rushing is so impressive. Like, if we put him up against Deshaun Watson, who is a guy who came out last year, also athletic, they're very similar in that sense, but Jackson has more gains of experience at a younger age and a better adjusted yards per attempt. Part of that's because Watson had this huge affinity for interceptions his last year at Clemson for some reason, but he's still a very good quarterback. So I don't know where I'd view him relative to Deshaun Watson, but I think if we're comparing them just because they're both very athletic, Jackson's at least in that same discussion. So again, I think he's a good first round pick. I think athletically he's similar to Michael Vick, but Jackson had way more experience at the exact same age as Vick, and had way more volume too as a passer in college than Vick. So I don't think there is a straight up comp for Lamar Jackson, honestly.
Yeah, just feeding the narrative that people seem to not know what to do with him. So they just say, hey, go play wide receiver.
Right,
play
exactly.
So the last one, this one's kind of interesting. I think Mason Rudolph he's a riser right now. Mm-hmm. More people are talking about him. Who's the comp for him?
I think he's Teddy Bridgewater. And I think when you say that, it could come off with a negative connotation, but it's also important to remember that I'm a huge Teddy Bridgewater fan, unfortunately. And hasn't quite gone so well. Rest in peace, Teddy's leg. But they're not the same build, because Rudolph is a pretty big guy and Teddy is a bit, you know, more slender. But they were both efficient. They had a ton of experience come out of college, and they're likely to go at the back end of the first round. And I think that that's an important thing to keep in mind with Rudolph, is that we do have to compare him to guys who weren't like Sam Bradford or someone going at the front end of the first round. So I think that he does look a lot like Teddy Bridgewater. And given what we saw from Bridgewater his first season in the NFL, I think that's worth a gamble, personally, for me, at the back end of the first round, like a team like the Saints or something down there, maybe Jacksonville, maybe the Patriots. I think that those teams could be very interesting for Mason Rudolph.
I dig it. All right, Jim, before I let you go, let's hear who you think the Cleveland Browns are going to take first overall and who you think that they should, which I think I probably know, take with that first pick.
Baker Mayfield. That's so obvious, because they've got a good system in place for quarterbacks. They've got a decent offensive line, even with Joe Thomas gone. Still a decent offensive line, especially at the middle. They've got good receivers now, especially when you add in Jarvis Landry and a full year of Josh Gordon. And we know that Baker can succeed in the right environment. I could see some worries about his hand size being smaller and playing in the weather in Cleveland. I would understand that. I think that's a very fair criticism, but we know he can succeed when he has good players around him like that, and I think that Mayfield could be awesome if he were to go to Cleveland. I'd bet they probably wind up going Sam Darnold, which is fine. Like, I don't view Darnold as being as impressive as a lot of the scouts do, which means I need to probably recheck where I have Darnold. But I think that overall, he should be a fine quarterback. He was awesome as a redshirt freshman at USC. Had some fumble issues, had some interception issues, so there are some concerns. But if they view him as being the top overall quarterback in this class, there is value in that. So I wouldn't pick him, but I don't think it's a terrible choice by any means.
Jim, thanks so much for joining me today. I greatly appreciate it. You all can find Jim's work over on numberfire.com, and Jim's also on Twitter at JimSonis. And don't forget to subscribe to his podcast by searching for Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcasts on iTunes. I'll be back in your ears on Friday with this week's mailbag episode. If you guys have any questions for it, hit me up on Twitter at LateRoundQB or email me at jj@numberfire.com. Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you then.